Thankful to serve such a great and a mighty God. Thankful to be able to put our lives in the hands of one that made it all and created us. He's a great big God, and I certainly realize that He's worthy of our lives and our trust. I'd like to look in the book of Psalms, 19th chapter. Psalms 19, the first verse, says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork." Thank you. You ever look out of the night sky and realize, especially if I've noticed it in particular when I've gone out to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado and 10 or 11,000 feet up in the air, you're just that much closer. And no city lights anywhere around, and you look out and you just see myriad of stars. You look out over the mountains and you realize that there's one that spoke it into place. There's one that spoke a word, and been talking a little bit with someone here just recently about evolution, and that's their viewpoint. That's what they believe. It all just came about by happenstance, and over millions and millions of years, it just happened to be and happened to come together in just the right way, and it just, everything formed, and it just is a product of nothing but chance. And well, to me, that would be the greatest miracle imaginable. But I'm so thankful to be able to trust one and be able to know one personally that says, "I was there when it happened, because I made it happen." I look out of the heavens and the firmament of God, and I see something different. It says that the heavens declare the glory of God. To those that are of a heart to be able to receive it, and I'd like to look at the first chapter of Romans. Romans, the first chapter. Nineteenth verse. "That which may be known of God is manifest in them," talking about the unrighteousness of men. "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, to everyone that is honest of heart, to be able to look on the smallest blade of grass, to be able to look on a flower, to be able to look on the night sky and realize it is a testimony of a great and a mighty God. He says it's been made known unto them. It's been made available unto them. He's painted the sunset for the godly and the ungodly alike to be able to see, to be able to look on and witness and behold the majesty of God. The heavens declare it. Well, I'd like to look at the 66th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 66 and 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." All of this that we look upon, whenever it goes beyond my mind's ability to realize it, the thought that all the stars of the sky that we're able to see, just one part of our galaxy, and our enormous galaxy is just one galaxy of many, many, many galaxies. You know, I soon goes far beyond my ability. David said it this way, Lord, when I look on all that You've made, then I think, Lord, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that Thou visitest him? Of all that God created, it was to testify of Him. To testify of His infinite power and ability. To be able to speak the Word and it be done. I remember a time that we were going through a difficult place. Katrina was very sick and expecting a child and complications. And the midwife and all were painting somewhat of a dark picture. And I remember going down to a creation museum and we saw the planetarium that they had there. It showed some of the scale of the universe and how enormous it is. And as I was thinking about some of these thoughts, I was there with my mom and she said, Clint, don't you think a God this big is able to take care of your situation? You know, that's what it's to do for us. It is to testify to the glory and the power of the God that we serve. The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. But he went on to say, where is the place that you build me? So I want to look now at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the second chapter. This great God that filled the heavens, said the heavens are His throne. It's the earth is His footstool, the place upon which He rests His foot, gives us a little bit of a glimpse of how big of a God that we serve. But yet it's as if He wasn't content with that. He wanted a place that He could dwell with His creation, with man. Second chapter of 2 Chronicles. Looking at the fourth verse. Well, let's begin with the first. 2 and 1. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord, and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for continual shewbread, and for burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build Him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him? Who am I then, that I should build Him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before Him? The very heaven of heavens, all that we've been able to see with our Hubble telescope and all of that, of the vast expanse, it's not able to contain this God. Who am I? You know, it began to feel very small. That the Lord would indeed dwell on earth in a place that I could build for Him. You know, Solomon and David before him, as he had done a lot of the preparation and the planning, he didn't approach this haphazardly. He didn't say, we'll just throw something together for God. But he wanted to make it. He said, this is a great house. The house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. I want it to be worthy of Him. I want it to be something that's befitting for the one that we're entreating to dwell in it. You can read of the details that went into it, but you just look here in the third chapter of the fourth verse. It says, just speaking here of the porch for the sake of time, and the porch that was in the front of the house, the length of it was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the height was 120, and he overlaid it with pure gold. You know, this temple, as Solomon built it, was well-renowned. It became a famous building structure, was one that as people approached, they were able to look on it. And you can imagine if it was overlaid, not with an alloy, not with a cheap plastic or a colored something, but it was pure gold that it was overlaid with. Remember the Queen of Sheba? Whenever she visited Solomon's kingdom and she had heard the stories and the reports of the glory of it, she witnessed it for herself and said that all that I've heard has not told the half of what it really is. Because great is the house that I build for God. He's a great God. He's worthy of the very best that I can present to Him. The very best that I can give Him. I don't want to bring artificial materials before Him. So I want to fast forward now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. I'd like to begin in the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I'd like to look at song number 99. Number 99 in our hymnal. It says, not in the temples made with hands, though beautiful by art, but God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. Solomon invested all that he had, the very best that he could offer, the very best of what was available to offer unto the Lord. I'm not going to bring something haphazard to Him. And it was beautiful. A beautiful building that he presented and dedicated to the Lord. That which others could look on and realize and see the beauty of it. But it said here, it's not now in temples made with hands, though beautiful by art, beautiful to look on, beautiful by design and by architecture and all that goes into it, but God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. How wonderful that He would take this poor abode of sin and wash me in His precious blood and now abide within. No more I think of God afar, but see Thee, Lord, within. O shine in me, Thou morning star, and keep Thy temple clean. O Lord, enshrined within my breast, my constant joy and peace, my soul can now forever rest, secure in Thy embrace. O glory to Jesus, so sweet in me, my body Thy temple shall forever be. Oh, it's such a privilege and a blessing that the Lord God of heaven, the one that Solomon dedicated a temple unto, that he wanted to take it closer than that, more personal than that. Yes, he wanted a temple that he could meet with his people, but he wanted more than that in the time that Jesus came and was crucified and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And access then was made into the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of God. That now God can come and fill this abode. That He can turn this into the temple of God. You know, it puts a challenge on me. I look at what Solomon did. And I realize, Lord, I want to present to You a temple that You'd be pleased to dwell in. I don't want to present something that's just thrown together. I don't want to take just the remnants or the leftovers or the scrap material, and I'm going to put that into the temple. But you look here in the same chapter. It said, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. I want you to notice that word husbandry. Ye are God's building. You're God's handiwork. Really is what it's saying. You are the work of God's hand. I want to look at a second, I want to come back to this, but the second chapter of Ephesians, I want to look at a verse here. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember the scripture that we started with? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament that shows His handiwork. Looking on that and that which He said it was His temple, His throne, the place that He abode, you can look on it by the work of His hands, and it testifies to Him. You know, it's saying here that ye are God's handiwork. Those of us that have given ourselves to the Lord, we are the Lord's workmanship. We're the work of the Lord's hands, His creation. Lord, help us that we then would be a reflection of the glory of God. Our lives and our temple should be such that when others look on it, it testifies to the glory of God. Remember, as Jesus said, that others might see your good works, the workmanship of God within you. They might look on that and see it, and it gives glory unto God which is in heaven. It's humbling to me to think that somehow I am called to give glory to God. Certainly not by our own works. Certainly not by something that my own hands can produce. But by the very work of God within our lives, that it might be on display. Think of the song, "He's Still Working on Me." Any of the rest of you relate to that? It took Him just a week. How does that go? To make the sun and the moon, the stars, Jupiter, Mars, something like that. Oh, how loving and patient He must be. Because it took Him less than a week to form and create all of this. In its glory, in its beauty, in its perfection before sin corrupted it. It took Him just a matter of speaking the word. Oh, how loving and patient He must be. Because He's still working on me. It took Him 6 days, and it's taking Him still to this time that He's still investing in me. He's still working on me. You know, I want the workmanship of God to be seen in my life. I want to submit myself to Him, yield myself to Him that He might be able to work and glorify His name through me. That is the glory of Zion. I believe one place it says something to the effect that the presence, the glory of the Lord would be, it's the out of the perfection of beauty. Oh, I don't remember just how it went. It was talking about the glory of God being the glory that's within Zion, that which shines forth. You know, it's not of ourselves again, but the glory of God that would shine through us. The God in His willingness, He said, of those that are humble and of a contrite heart will I look, that I'll dwell among and in them, that His glory might be able to show through us and glorify His name by His workmanship. And so ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Let every man take heed. It's in the same chapter that we read here, just a little further down. Ye are the temple of God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. So take heed how you build. Take heed how you build in your life. What is it that we're bringing into the temple? Scripture says, whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, holiness is the standard of the church of God. It always has been, and it always will be the standard of the church of God. It's not by a constitution or a declaration or a creed that man is able to produce. We're not able to go through and on every line, on every detail, to be able to spell it out for every individual. We're not able to add enough. We're not able to respond quickly enough to all the developments and the inventions of the world. But you know, there is a principle that governs and guides us through everything that we encounter in life. What is it? Do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatever you wear, wherever you go, whatever you participate in, do all to the glory of God. Let it be such as is becoming unto the temple of God. That which I clothe myself with, let it testify to God. You know, that's the principle. Oh, I would that our young people would be able to understand and grasp hold of this. Yes, modesty is a Bible doctrine. It is part of who God is. It's part of who He instilled. It's part of His temple. And so if I'm building a temple for Him, and I want Him to dwell and abide in it, I'm going to have to present a temple that brings glory unto Him. Whatsoever you do, it's a litmus test. It's a test, a question that I ought to be able to ask myself. Lord, does this glorify You? This that I do, this that I eat, that I drink, whatsoever ye do, does it glorify God? Does it testify to His glory like all of His creation? Like all of the firmaments and the heavens that we look on, and to those of us that see God in it, look upon it and say, wow, glory be to God. What a great and a mighty God. Do our lives testify in the same manner to God? Does our temple, that now it's not just the firmament that He dwells in, but now within our very hearts as His temple, that is His throne now. Does the work of His hand within my life, within this temple, does it bring glory to His name? Ye are God's building, His workmanship. So do all to the glory of God. I want to encourage and challenge us. Encourage us by the thought that God will dwell within us. No more I think of God afar. You ever stop and just consider those words as we're singing it? No more I think of God afar. So many that worship the gods of this world, they go to see God, their God. They go into a temple to be able to climb up steps or whatever it is to catch a glimpse of their God. They have to go to a holy city to be able to see their God. Or it's something that's so far removed, so distant that you can never really understand it. But oh, praise God, we serve one that's willing not to just stand afar off, but that's willing to draw us nigh. There's not much closer than you can get than within us. That's willing to dwell within us. I don't have to go to a holy city. He makes this a holy city. Where I am, there the glory of God can be also. In my trials, in my tribulations, in my troubles, there I can find the presence of the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord, no more I see this God afar off. But Lord, now I see Thee within. And so, Lord, the challenge of it then is, I want to present the best to You. I want to present, as Solomon's determination was, I'm going to make it of pure gold. I'm going to make it of the very best materials that I can. You know, the Lord's looking for pure gold as well. The Lord is looking within our lives to be able to produce that same fine, pure gold. It may require some burning dross off, but He wants to produce pure gold that produces a reflection of the glory of God within our lives. We have a choice. We can build within this temple of wood, hay, stubble, things that are of no value, things that will burn. Or we can build it of a lasting and more enduring substance that brings glory to God. What kind of temple am I building for the Lord? What have I prepared for Him? I don't think we can afford to do a shabby construction job and say, Lord, I'm asking You to come live in this. And I've done a half-hearted effort, a half-hearted job. But I believe the Lord is looking for our all and all the benefit, all the blessing and the payoff. Whenever Solomon finished and completed the temple, it was all repaid when the glory of the Lord came and He filled the temple. So much so, I believe it recounted the story that the post of the door shook by the glory of the Lord that appeared in that place. You know, it's the benefit that we have as well. By presenting ourselves in holiness unto the Lord, that the Lord will dwell within us, that He'll cause His glory to shine within our hearts. You pray for me. Amen.